Welcome to Engineering Success. I'm your host, Jamie Hutton, and in each episode we'll bring you an influential and inspiring guest from the world of engineering, science, technology and mathematics, sharing fascinating insights into their career journeys. We'll explore the challenges they face, how they keep motivated, and what the future holds for them. Speaking candidly about the engineering and other STEM-related industries, we'll find out what's made these successful people successful. This is Engineering Success. Welcome to episode number 36 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Erusa Adizi. Erusa is a net zero manager at Tarmac, a sustainable building materials company in which her role involves supporting and developing the roadmaps that will allow the hard-to-decarbonise industry to reach net zero targets. Erusa has degrees in electrical and electronic engineering with management and safety and reliability engineering. She is passionate about the energy transition and has had various roles all exclusively within energy, from oil and gas services to electricity transmission to power generation. Hi Erusa, and welcome to Engineering Success. It's great to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Can we start right at the beginning? How did you first become interested in engineering?
So I had some family influence. So I had my two aunts were engineers, and right. Then they told me about their jobs and it sounded really interesting. So one of my aunts worked for the UN as an engineer in Nigeria. Right. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And then also, like, when I was young, I was always quite interested in how things work. So at home, if there was ever anything to put together, like IKEA furniture or something from Argos, I was always the one who used to help my dad or put it together. So yeah. I was always quite interested in, you know, how things worked and reading books about that and doing work experience in a computer with an IT manager and finding out how to take apart computers and things like that. So I think that I always knew that engineering was a path for me. And then when I was in school, I also really loved maths, and then physics was okay too. And then engineering was the natural follow on from all of that.
Right. Yeah. So what was your route into industry?
So I went to university to study electrical and electronic engineering with management. So I had the degree, and then after that, came out and was considering, you know, what to do. Funny enough, a lot of people who studied my course went into finance or investment banking
management. Oh, really?
But I think I was pretty set on engineering. I think none of that other stuff appealed to me. So I just decided to follow on from that, and then I went into working in oil and gas.
Yeah.
In the engineering route with the company then.
Yeah. So you're now a net zero manager. Can you share with us a little bit about what that actually entails? Because I'm really interested to know more about that.
Sure, great question. So let's take it back. So I work for Tarmac. So Tarmac makes sustainable building materials such as asphalt, aggregates, cement, concrete. So we call it the cement business, one of the hard to decarbonize industries. And obviously these days a lot of businesses are tasked with getting to net zero.
Yeah.
So my job involves working with Tarmac to put together our targets for 2030, and then how are we going to get to net zero by 2050, which is quite challenging because when I say hard to decarbonize, I really mean it. So when, for example, when you make cement, you emit a lot of carbon dioxide, a lot of people don't know that about two-thirds of the CO2 that's emitted when you make cement is something we call process emissions. So it's the
Right.
chemistry of actually making cement. So there's nothing you can do about that. So
Okay.
my job is quite challenging in that I have to also help putting together our roadmaps for how we will decarbonize by 2050.
Right.
So it's a lot that's involved, but it's very interesting. And I work as net zero manager in our sustainability department.
Yeah.
I have a lot of interaction with the other business units because
Yeah.
it takes a lot of collaboration to get to where we need to go. So.
Yeah. And do you work in collaboration with other companies that supply to you, and how do they fit into that, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, so we do work in collaboration with other companies. I think something that I hope people are getting an awareness is that to get to net zero and to completely decarbonize, we all have to collaborate. Industries have to collaborate with each other, with the government, with research institutions. So we there's a lot of definitely a lot of collaboration there because, you know, if you we work with, for example, universities who do studies and you know, the deep thinkers there who then come up with concepts that we could potentially in my company take forward. And we work with the government to put together to get an idea about the policies and regulation that we need to follow and that will help guide us as a company. And then we also collaborate with other companies
Yeah.
who are producing the equipment, so manufacturers, so the things that we can install on site. Yeah, so there's a lot of collaboration. For example, my company, a couple of weeks ago, we had this week we call Supplier Sustainability Week. So that involved us collaborating with our suppliers because a lot of what they do will affect how we get to net zero. And
Yeah.
then we also had an innovation challenge where we asked our suppliers to come up with ideas about to improve energy efficiency on our sites. So, you know, that shows how important it is to collaborate because things that they come up with, we could potentially implement as well.
Yeah. It sounds very intense, but also I guess very rewarding as well.
Definitely, I think that having making putting making a change and like having an effect is definitely rewarding for me.
Yeah, I think that outlines as well the range of skills that you need as an engineer. Because I can imagine how involved your work is every single day.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I think you need a lot of skills in engineering. I think a lot of people might be surprised that being able to work as part of a team is really, really important
Yeah.
being an engineer. So an engineering project has lots of different people working together, and you know, you need to be able to take advantage of someone else's skills and fill in gaps that are in the team as well. So team working is a big one, and then also communication is really important
Yeah,
for
yeah, yeah,
when being
yeah.
an engineer.
Yeah. So obviously your job is very, very future proof, because obviously we want to hit those targets, and we want people to do what you're doing. So how do you think we can infuse the next generation of talent into engineering?
I think that I think it's really important these days when we want to encourage just children in general to think in we want to encourage them into careers where they will make a difference. So obviously there's a lot of awareness with young people about the effects of climate change
Yeah,
and
yeah.
what we're doing to the environment. I think that it's really important for us to make them aware that when working an engineer and engineering, they can influence, you know, what happens in the future. And I
Yeah.
think a lot of them are crying out to like make their voices heard and have that impact. So just making them aware of this is where they can do this and how
Yeah.
important it is that we need them there, that will be essential.
Yeah. So what would your number one piece of advice be for somebody thinking about entering engineering?
So I think I thought about this a lot, and I think that something that I'd encourage any young person who's interested in engineering is to, you know, reach out to a company or someone that they think is doing something
Yeah.
interesting. I know that a lot of people, if someone emails them. Like if someone emails me and said, "Oh, I love what you're doing. Can I spend a day with you?" I'd say yes. Half a day, yes, come on board. Do some a small bit of work experience, shadow me for a day, and then then you'll have a better idea about what's actually involved and you can ask those questions. So I think I'd encourage young people to just write an email, write a letter and just say, can I talk to you? And a lot of people say yeah, and then they'll have those ideas, yes or no, I want to follow that path. But definitely encourage them to be brave and just like go for it.
So, we can put your email address onto your web podcast web page and all your social, so people, so you can be inundated with people now contacting you for a day.
Yes. I mean,
Let's do
I,
it.
when I was young, I had questions about, what's going on, what do you actually do? And I think that
Absolutely.
if I'd been brave, I don't know, it would be very helpful. So I think, yeah, just ask me, put my details on.
Yeah, it's about
Do it.
reaching out and being brave, isn't it? And I think I'll email you as well, because I'd like to know more about net zero and all that type of thing. I think a lot of
Please
people would.
do, please do. I think there's a lot, obviously there's a lot on the news and everyone talks about net zero, but a lot of people don't really understand what's involved. And then it's different for different industries. So if anyone has any questions, reach out. I'll tell you what it's like in the building materials business.
That's an offer that I don't think many can refuse, to be honest. So then what myths would you like to dispel about engineering?
I think there's this image of what engineering is, everyone on a site in PPE, for example, with a hard hat. And that's one type of engineering for sure, but it's not all types of engineering. There's such a range of engineering careers. So just dispelling that image, and also obviously the image is usually it's a man in a hard hat. But there are women in engineering, so I love more imagery, and I think it's definitely there's more of it now of female engineers, definitely. And then also the other myth is just there's just following on from that, there's such a range that I think that if you have an interest in something, I'm pretty sure you can find an engineering role that links to that. For example, if you love food and cooking, there's like I read somewhere that there's like a role of a chocolate engineer. I don't know where that person is, and I wish I'd known about it earlier,
I
but
do too.
potentially be a chocolate engineer. Or if you love Formula One, you could become like a obviously like Formula One engineer, so you can be one of the people helping to design those Formula One cars. If you love fashion, there's also a role for you as an engineer, for example, in manufacturing of items. So I just love to dispel the myth that there's only one image of engineering. There's just so many different routes and roles in that.
And what about because a lot of people think that engineers take your route and go to university, but there's a lot more routes into engineering now, isn't there? Apprenticeships and T levels, there's a lot more scope out there for people to get involved, isn't there? Even reaching out and getting a placement.
I think it's amazing these days how many routes there are into engineering and how many options there are. So I went to university to get an engineering degree, and I can't really say that it was encouraged or there was that awareness for me to take the apprenticeship route. But in my career, I have seen so many more apprenticeships available, and I have talked to some of the apprentices that are taking part in some of those different areas, and it sounds amazing, the opportunity to work and earn money at the same time is great, and then also the opportunity to get your foundation degree is unparalleled. For example, when I finished university, it was very theoretical, so I knew how to calculate some obscure equation to get some answer, but I didn't really know practically how to do things. So that's where someone who's had who's gone through the apprenticeship route would be an advantage because they know, because they've been working on this the whole
Absolutely.
time.
Yeah.
So it just depends on, you know, what appeals to you, your personal circumstances, to which route you want to go down. But I think ultimately you'll probably get to the same place.
Absolutely, yeah, because all routes are valid, aren't
Definitely.
they? Yeah. So going on from that, how do you think engineering and us as engineers can better promote ourselves?
I see it happening more now. Just I think it's important to promote how we got into it and having a diverse group of people who are doing this.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes it's appealing to see someone who looks like you tell you about their route into engineering, and that's a way to promote it amongst certain people. And
Yeah.
if I tell them, okay, this is how I got into it and this is what I studied, then they could potentially think, okay, I'm gonna follow the same path because it'll get me to where I want to go. I
Yeah.
think that's a really good way to promote engineering, just lots of different people speaking about their experiences.
Yeah. Because obviously, when people are underrepresented, we need more diversity in the workplace. So the people that are underrepresented now are breaking those glass ceilings, aren't they? To
Definitely.
clear that route for more people.
Definitely. So even, you know, I've been working in engineering for a long time, and even me, I feel sometimes, I'll say disheartened, because I often don't see senior management roles, executive positions, VPs. I don't see people who look like me there. So I also would like guidance on how to get to those positions. So if, you know, I want to progress, I want to develop myself in my career, but I don't see anyone looks like me to say, okay, I can follow their route. So that's quite difficult as well, for me. So that's something I'd like to see more of. But just the potent, I think, I'm not sure what the percentage of you know, executives, senior executives that are minority, ethnic minorities there are, but I think it is really shockingly low.
Yeah, it'd be a small percentage, I would guess. Yeah,
Yes.
I do know the figures, but I don't know them off the top of my head, if that makes sense. I do know. But yeah, it's a valid point. So what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges ahead for engineering?
It's really interesting. So I think that okay, in the future we're going to have so many new engineering roles, because the future is going to look a lot different to what it looks like now. For example, in the future, a lot more jobs in energy and sustainability. So you know, when we have more and more wind farms, we'll need people to maintain, build, design those, solar, people to look after them. And then also we've got these new types of energy vectors, such as hydrogen is going to be really important in the future. So we need people, you know, to have experience in chemistry, processing, things like that. And, you know, I'm not sure we have that yet. And then in the future, if carbon capture really is established in the UK, that's a whole new field of people who need to know about that. So I think the challenge of engineering the future is developing the skills that people will need for those roles, and filling up the amount of roles that there will be in the future. So I think we need to have that foresight to think about, you know, what we'll need to do for that at that point in 2035, when everyone's got hydrogen cars or vehicles, like who's gonna look after them? We need people to know how to do that.
Do you think at the moment that we're in the biggest boom in engineering, as in to say it's changing so much now than it ever has done in the past, you know, because we're moving at such a rapid rate with AI and digital technology? Do you think that's fair to say?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, we're living in a really, yeah, expand a time where everything's lot bigger. I agree with you. I think it's an interesting time. And yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, I agree.
So you touched on it a little bit earlier. But have you had any mentors that have helped you in your journey and continue to help you?
No. No, I think I would love to have a mentor, and I think that's, as I said earlier, I think that's also where it's I feel quite bad sometimes. I don't often see people who look like me that I want to, I'd feel comfortable in approaching to be a mentor.
Right.
But I'm still looking, and people who do have mentors, it's just it's been very valuable for them, so I'm looking.
Yeah. So it's like a pre-rain. Come and help me. I need a mentor.
Yes. That's why I'm on this podcast, just for putting my request into the atmosphere, into the universe.
Yeah, you've got to reach out, like you told the young people to reach out to you.
You know what? You're right. How can I give that advice when I don't follow it myself? Thanks, Jamie. I
Absolutely.
will do
I'm
that.
going to follow you up on that to make sure you do as well.
Wait, who's your mentor? Who's your mentor?
So then, how do you keep yourself motivated?
I think a lot of it is just being really passionate about what I do, and the difference that I could make in my role
Yeah.
definitely keeps me motivated. I really enjoy my job, and I really am looking forward to what the future holds. I am really positive and enthusiastic about us getting to net zero, and I think we'll do it.
Yeah.
So that keeps me motivated. But then also outside of work, I'm also really passionate about promoting STEM careers. So when I do talks and speak to kids, children in school about what I do, I have amazing questions that come through, and it really encouraged me, because I think, okay, you guys, you're aware,
Yeah.
you're engaged, and that's amazing. So that really keeps me moving forward and motivated.
Yeah. So then, who or what has been your biggest inspiration?
Ooh. So probably would say my parents and my family for
Right.
sure. So just also seeing how hard my parents worked when we were younger, for sure. And just the passion that they had for their jobs and developing themselves. My mom, she changed careers to something that she had no awareness of, but she worked hard to like get that knowledge and make her business a success. So that was
Right.
really inspiring for me. And my dad worked so hard for us as children, so we really respect what they did. And bringing up, there were four of us children in this in the UK, keeping us us focused, and we're all doing quite well now. So definitely my inspirations.
Yeah, brilliant. So it's important to continually develop as engineers, and I'm sure you develop every day. But how do you do that?
So definitely I'm thinking about where I want to go and what I want to do. So for example, I worked to get my chartership, which I've got this year. So
Fantastic. Congratulations.
I'm just, thank you very much. Making sure that I am working on projects that will develop me personally, and then taking notes for them, for my evidence for chartership. That's important for anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Just to like just make sure that you note everything down that's nonsensical, not sensitive anyway. And
Yeah.
that will come. You can use that in your portfolio. And then also, I just try to stay curious and just try to personally develop myself, read interesting books. I love, for example, I love l learning languages.
Right.
So like outside of work, I'm learning Mandarin, so
Wow.
that's keeping my mind engaged. So
Yeah.
one time in the future, hopefully I'll be fluent there. So yeah, I think it's definitely important just to not not to stagnate. I think in any career, you need to keep awareness of what's happening. I think that that's especially important with engineering, because engineering develops so quickly. So one day you could be satisfied, but the next day there'll be something new coming in that you should probably be aware of. So it's even more important in this career to do that.
Do you think it's important to develop skills outside of engineering? Because engineering can be quite intense. Like you said, you know, you're learning Mandarin, which is an amazing thing to do, a very hard language, I believe, to learn. Do you believe you sometimes need to get away from that engineering, because it can be overwhelming if you're doing it 24/7, can't it?
I think so. I think that it's important to kind of get out there and see something different. And you know what? You don't even know. Life is unpredictable. You have no idea where, if you know, you're reading a book on something different on horticulture. I don't know why that came into my mind. You don't know what the impact of that and how that will affect you, change you, and if that you can apply that to your job in some way. Yeah. I think anything. I think it's just important to broaden your horizons, and you'll find yourself moving in some way that you never expected, and you'll find something amazing happen from just keeping your eyes open. I really believe that.
Yeah. And finally, looking forward, what does the future hold for you?
So I want to continue working in energy, sustainability, and net zero sphere, keep developing my skills and knowledge, and working for my business to help us develop our roadmaps and our strategy for help for getting to net zero. And in my career, I've had a lot of experience in different energy fields, and I think that, you know, I want to put that to the greater good, if you will. So so I want to, you know, just use my skills and just keep having a positive effect on the world and the environment.
That's a fantastic future as well. Arusa, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Jamie.
Okay, thank you for listening to episode number 36 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Arusa Adizi. It was great to talk to Arusa, and I hope you can hear that we had a great time recording this episode. It was really good to discuss her role as a net zero manager, which is something we all need to have a better understanding of, and also be aware of how organisations are investing in the future. Arusa does tremendous outreach work, visiting schools and helping to inspire the next generation to take a deeper look into engineering and to the world around them. Being part of the IET Energy Board, Arusa is helping to shape all our futures. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, please share it and subscribe. We've got some more fantastic guests coming soon. So, have a great day, and I hope you succeed in all you do.